It's our choice, our opportunity and our time.
This time it's not for us, it's for the young generation. Woo! Because this is your Scotland.
I just worry that people would be very much disappointed because we're not talking about changing the social and economic landscape. We're talking about changing the flag that flies over Edinburgh Castle. And a flag doesn't heat a home, it doesn't put food on the table, it doesn't create housing, and it doesn't create jobs. And that's the reality.
We're not going anywhere. We're staying here. We're just going to organise things differently and more to the needs of the people who live and work here. We're actually coming home.
This opportunity is truly historic. There are men and women all over Scotland looking in the mirror and knowing that the moment has come. It's our choice, our opportunity, and our time.
That's what this constitutional debate has done. It's not just about independence. It's made us talk about what currency we use. How is the health service run? Who does fund it? What is our foreign policy? Would we want Trident? Will we have a defence? These are wonderful things that people haven't been speaking about for 30, 40 years. I have never seen anything like it in my lifetime. We're not going anywhere. We're staying here. We're just going to organise things differently and more to the needs of the people who live and work here. And the fact that we're not going away, we're actually coming home.
For being together with the country. I don't think Scotland can sustain itself on its own. We're not ready at all. I just think it's a no.
It's a chance for Scotland to transform itself. Personally, in shorthand, I'd like the oil reserves to finance renewable energy revolution and bring back Scottish engineering, manufacturing, and stop all these resource wars and dirty politics in the Middle East.
But I don't feel like any of us are suffering. I don't think there's any real point about that. And I also think this whole debate on the oil, it's not going to last forever. And I just don't think we're a big enough economy to kind of last ourselves.
There's something hopeful about hoping. There's something inspiring about being inspired. And there's something exciting about being excited. But I just worry that people would be very much disappointed. In fact, I'm convinced they would be. Because we're not talking about changing the social and economic landscape. We're talking about changing the flag that flies over Edinburgh Castle. And a flag doesn't heat a home, it doesn't put food on the table, it doesn't create housing, and it doesn't create jobs. And that's the reality.
Since 1707, Scotland has been in a union with its former oppressor, England. And over the next few centuries, it became firmly woven into the cloth of the British Empire. But the discovery of North Sea oil in the mid-20th century fueled the nationalist movement, and in 1999 the country was given devolved powers. With the nationalist dream now within touching distance, the people of Scotland were asked a simple question: should Scotland become an independent country?
With with independence, we'll be able to put a stop to that and make our own decisions for our own people.
We don't want to have any more illegal wars. We don't want to go into other countries and kill other poor people.
On September the 18th, 2014, the people of Scotland voted on the fate of their nation in an independence referendum. After an intense two-year campaign as the election approached, the vote was too close to call.
I'm Edinburgh born and bred. I'm 47. So that means I grew up in Edinburgh, in the west side of the city, in the 70s and 80s. So I had brief experience of what it was like under the last real Labour government in this country, the government of public ownership. It was very working class. Father and mother worked in what you would call sort of low-income occupations, drivers. My mother was a cleaner, administrator. Father worked in a variety of occupations, delivering bread, delivering flowers, factories and so on and so forth. So it was very low, I would say lower working class, and a very working class community. So all the issues that face working class people, not only in Scotland, but throughout the UK, throughout the world, trying to keep a job, trying to keep food on the table, trying to pay rent. We didn't own a house. Everything was rented. The TV was rented. The telephone was rented. Everything was rented. And one of my most formative experiences, by the age of 11, I was an accomplished liar. Because I was the person who was sent to the door by my parents. I have two older siblings. I was the one that was sent to the door any time the gas man came, the TV man came, the insurance man came looking for money for my father, and I had to tell them that my father wasn't in. So that was my reality of working class life. But what that did is that planted a seed of class within me without even realising it, that there is a them and an us in society. And authority and officialdom are not on our side. My older brother, Robert, is actually voting yes, and he's a very passionate yes voter. And unfortunately, we've fallen out. There's been a rupture between us over it. We've had many arguments, and the arguments have become more heated as the day of the referendum approaches, and I think it just typifies the enormity of the issue. So unfortunately, right now, our family is divided, even though we've usually been very, very close.
That house right there, the middle one there, I was born and grew up in that house. Many memories, as you can imagine. This was concrete, this piece of grass here, and this is where me and my friends would play as toddlers. And our mothers would be sitting on the wall, and weather like this, watching us, and talking and chattering and so on. So I was particularly close to my sister. She would pick me up from school. She was kind of like a surrogate mother in many ways. My mother was ill for a time, so my sister took over that role. Myself and my brother were chalk and cheese. We had different views on everything. Football teams, music. We were always fighting and arguing. I just hope that people here can see their lives transformed in my lifetime, but that'll be through socio-economic change. And unless the lives of people in Newcastle and Liverpool can be transformed, the lives of people in Stockton Mains will never be transformed, because the issue is class, not nation. So so you're voting yes, obviously. Aye. And what for?
Because I can.
Because you can, okay.
Because I've got the choice. So many reasons.
Changed Tories.
I think, I'm patriotic, so I'm all for
Scotland.
Freedom, and it goes way back to what the English done to us. They may be thinking the wrong sort of ways. For different reasons.
Well, it's unleashed a lot of these kind of emotions, isn't it?
History.
But what about the issue of class? I think you've got a lot of common with people, working class people in Newcastle or Liverpool. Do you feel any connection to them?
No,
not at all. It's Scottish.
I'm Scottish.
So there's much to be angry about. The corruption, the greed, the graft, the role of the city, and obviously the foreign policy. There's much to be angry about Britain's foreign policy. And the thing is, Britain has exercised itself, extended itself in sort of seizing a moral high ground from which it lectures the rest of the world about democracy and human rights and so on. But that moral high ground is, in truth, a smouldering, stinking dung heap of hypocrisy and double standards.
Why is independence such a bad idea?
Well, it's a distraction. It is incompatible with the modern world. The economic forces that govern our lives are global in dimension. So to try and retreat behind a border is a way to resist those global economic forces is delusional. There is no escape hatch from reality. And it will be a race to the bottom, because each economy will have to compete for the same investment, and that will involve driving down of wages and conditions.
Cooperation and solidarity and interdependence rather than independence is the bigger idea of the future. Now, I say that and yield to no one in my pride in being Scottish. Born in Scotland, brought up in Scotland, even when I worked in London, my home was in Scotland. And I too have got the patriotic. Don't let any nationalist tell you that you are less patriotic in your support for Scotland than anybody else.
I think there's been a bit of bullying going on, a bit of intimidation from the Yes campaign. They've been very vocal, very aggressive, very kind of truculent in how they've dealt with the No campaign, castigating people who are voting No as traitors and Tories and all the rest of it. And I think the dust is starting to clear from that battlefield. I think the bluster has been cleared away, and what we're seeing is clarity, the clarity of argument, the force and the power of our argument, which is undeniable.
And vote yes to independence. This is our time. Let's grab it.
What I've seen by all of you from the last week, the last 2 years, is truly inspiring.
But this time it's not for us, it's for the young generation. Woo! Because this is your Scotland and it's your time.
I'm from a mining village in Lanarkshire called Newt Hill. That's where I went to primary school. Then went to high school in Motherwell, went to Comprehensive Braithurst High School. And a great champion of state schools as well. I'd like it on the record because some people seem to think if you're rich, your children automatically go to private schools. My kids didn't. Both went to the local primary, the local state schools, did well. Not perfect by any means, but I'm a great champion of that. And that was my background as well. Well, I didn't want to be a comedian. I was going to be a great tragic actress. Some would say I am, but that's a whole other thing. No, I was a school teacher. I taught in Firhill High in Edinburgh. I did my postgrad at Murray House here. I finished, I wanted to be a drama teacher. And I did for 3 years and loved it. Absolutely loved it. But I was a singer more than anything. And my dream was, you know, in another world, I'd probably been queuing up to go on X Factor or something like that. You know, I was singing in clubs with bands and I wanted to, 70, so I wanted to be Joni Mitchell. I play piano and stuff like that. I can't be bothered with the Scottish humour. We're the best, we're funnier than everybody else. I can't be bothered with that. We're not funnier than anyone else, but we do have an amazing way of saying things. My political innocence and naivety, which is still there, I didn't realise that I wasn't supposed to say what I really felt. And so I promptly went on to say that I wasn't paying the bloody poll tax and that I thought that all the Labour MPs present should show an example and do exactly the same. This is not about identity, this is not about race. I have not one racist bone in my body about any other nation. It's all about the democratic deficit, about a country voting in a certain way and not getting the governments that it elects or that it's voted for. Now, you could say Newcastle doesn't and neither does Manchester, but we're a country. And if this has been going on for so long, then something has to give within it.
If we vote yes next week, then what we are voting for is the ability to keep the future, the control of the future of our country, where it is right now, which is in our hands. We are a lucky country right now, and we should all thoroughly enjoy it and be really, really grateful for the opportunity we've been given. Thank you very much.
And it's not that there isn't wealth here. Mm. The wealth isn't shared out enough. And so if you can if you can get hold of, is, you know, it's that argument. If we can have the powers here to create more wealth, then we can distribute it differently. Yeah. High wage, high tax economy. They've not even put a great defence of the union. I could put a better defence of what Britain has done than they are. Why the UK is still sitting in the Security Council, who knows?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have an empire, it doesn't have great power, it sits there on the coattails
of America.
Yeah. And America tolerates it and goes, yeah, but only if you toe our line.
Yeah.
Only if you do that. I want to live in a small, peaceful country. I don't care. I know that an independent Scotland wouldn't have gone to Iraq. And it'll be a realignment of politics in Britain, because people in the south will go, look, they can do it differently. It doesn't only have to be about the rich, and it doesn't only have to be about the city determining everything. Look, they're living differently.
Yeah.
They're living better. A no vote for me is about saying to a couple of thousand men, mainly men, and the elites that run everything, from the House of Lords to the city, to the banks, to the judiciary, to the media, I on yous go, boys, because you know better than us. You went to the right public schools, you went to the right universities, and you know better than us. We're just wee oiks up here. We can't run anything. That's what a no vote for me is. Certainly since the Iraq war, I have a great deal of upset at the way we conduct ourselves in the world. I don't think that we are the great power that is always paraded before us. I just think that that desire to punch above our weight means that we follow America's coattails.
Anxious myself, one way or another, just as to how it's going to go.
My Up from the Yes campaign has been positive, and I think people don't like to be bullied. I think the No campaign has tried to bully people.
People are fed up with the politicians at Westminster. They feel alienated, and it's really about bringing politics back. And you know, however people vote today, we've done that. This isn't, politics has come back to the people. They're turning out at public meetings. They're talking to one another. I mean, people are taking their photographs here, going into the polling booth. When did you ever see that?
The people of Scotland have spoken. We have chosen unity over division and positive change rather than needless separation. Today is a momentous result for Scotland and also for the United Kingdom as a whole.
For me right now, therefore, there is a decision as to who is best placed to lead this process forward. I believe that this is a new, exciting situation that's redolent with possibility. But in that situation, I think that party, parliament and country would benefit from new leadership. Therefore, I've told the National Secretary of the Scottish National Party that I shall not accept a nomination for leader at the annual conference in Perth on the 13th to the 15th of November.
I'm not a politician, I'm not a councillor, I believe in my country, and that's it.
And that's the young boy. That's old boy.
done.
That's all right.
Don't get
it doesn't
take.
That's
not
an
offer, £3.
And that's never going to lie. I want to tell you something. You don't have to be a councillor or a politician to do something for your society. Do it anyway, be a judge.
Ultimately, I'm extremely disappointed. I'm very proud of everybody in Scotland that voted yes, because it was brave and it was wise, you know, not just thinking with the heart, so feeling with the hearts, but the minds that looked at all the information. But I have to say, I'm a bit ashamed of a lot of the people that voted no, and in my opinion, I think our core values that a lot of them possess is selfishness, greed, and just not really thinking about society as a whole, maybe just thinking about their savings, their job, their thing, whereas the rest of us were thinking about Scots and Scotland.
Through watching the things that are happening here now and the way that it's been reported on the BBC makes me sick to the stomach to think, you know, you start to wonder, if this is the way they're reporting this, what else are they skewing? And I just don't believe them anymore. And no matter with the yes voters or the no voters, there's a massive undercurrent of, you know, just not wanting to be part of this media who are not listening, and they're reporting things for the benefit of themselves and the people who are there in cahoots with, really.
Don't leave disillusioned. Don't leave thinking you have lost. You won.
Remarkably, I'm not feeling in any way celebratory. I'm quite actually hollow. I feel really sad for a lot of the people who put all their hopes into the Yes campaign. It was an immense campaign, it has to be said. I spoke to my brother this morning, actually. He's very raw, but he actually feels very proud. I think we've managed to hear our differences. I think it made a difference that I didn't go on the phone and start screaming and shouting in celebration. Very sympathetic, but I think he's very, very proud, and I think all the people in the Yes campaign can be very, very proud. Lost some friends, some comrades politically through this campaign. I hope they can heal any divisions, because we need to unite. The problems that we had before this campaign, before the vote, still remain.
By far the biggest factor in this campaign was the Yes campaign. It was immense. It succeeded in mobilising thousands of people up and down this country who hitherto had been disconnected, disenfranchised and alienated from the political process.
No, I think it's finished for a generation at least. I don't think people have the appetite to go down this road again. I think we'll have to see what the new powers are for the Scottish Parliament. I think the road lies in united struggle across borders, across nationalities in this small island. If there's any whiff of a betrayal on the part of the political class, especially Labour, given how poor they were in this campaign and how this country was always seen as a Labour heartland, we're talking a political corpse. The Drake weather, the losing the vote and Alex Salmond resigning. It was almost Shakespearean, actually. You know, he chose to fall on his sword. Well, I'm actually getting married next week, so even though I feel hollow right now, I've got that to look forward to. Life goes on. But apart from that, I'll be trying to keep in touch with friends and family and trying to build a new Scotland, along hopefully with everyone else who was involved in the campaign on either side for progressive reasons.
I didn't feel on the day of the vote that Scotland was ready for full independence. I didn't think Scotland felt it was ready. And those doubts and everything that were in there were in me too, even though I was campaigning for a yes vote and desperately wanted that. I feel really ready now. I feel really grown up now. We live again to fight another day. This is just part of the process. So I feel quite optimistic and strong. If I've got to recover from a couple of, you know, wounds or fallouts or whatever, then that's fine. Because the reality of some people's... And that was what I was involving it for, because that's what I wanted to change. I wanted to give... It wasn't going to happen overnight, but I wanted the chance of hope.
The no vote prevailed because voters, and older ones especially, felt they would be economically worse off under independence. Yes voters may have failed to break up the union, but they feel that one day, in the not too distant future, Scotland will become independent. The turnout for the Scottish independence referendum was unusually high at 84.6%. 55.3% voted no and 44.7% voted yes. The result shows that a divided Scotland demands change from the Westminster status quo, and Scottish independence will remain part of the national discussion.
A commitment to an independent Scotland for life. It's not just this referendum. I mean, you saw what happened with devolution in the 70s. That was rejected, and then 20 years later we got it. So I'm just hopeful that the same situation is going to happen with the independence referendum, and it will come around in my lifetime.